Good morning, Maryland! This is not a test. This is your 2024 primary day. Polling places open 7 a.m. In one-party states, which we are, the primary elections are often more important than the general elections. So if you haven't voted yet, today is it. And from Rockville in the great state of Maryland, this is I Hate the News, a weekly news bulletin from I Hate Politics podcast, a show about a human activity we love to hate. I am Sunil Dasgupta. Music for this episode comes from Doogie Whitaker and The Lonesome Mile. Whitaker on vocals and guitar, Howard Rayback on bass, Allison Cena on the drums. The song is called Streetlight Sigh, lyrics by Dale Ingram. The week of May 14th, it is the polls, but much more. This week is also peak bird migration through the Washington, D.C. region. According to the Cornell University and Oregon State University-run bird migration website, BirdCast, almost 7 million birds flew north over Virginia on May 11th and 12th alone. 2 million flew over the state of Maryland. Disclaimer, these are estimates. Not all birds may fully cross a region in one night, resulting in a greater number of birds in flight than total birds crossed. Last week, May 8th, the police cleared the student encampment in George Washington University in D.C. But protesters were back May 9th, this time in front of the university president's home. They were removed overnight, Friday into Saturday, and last Sunday morning, there were no signs of protesters. University yard was fenced off with heavy steel barricades. Squad cars sat idling on various streets, and birds were chirping on an unseasonably cold day. And we met Edward from Potomac, who said he didn't go to George Washington University, but had graduated from Winston Churchill High School in Montgomery County. He was carrying handwritten posters and a big backpack of someone who had spent the night outdoors. That's all there is left now. Across the region in Baltimore, the Hopkins Justice Collective also broke down their encampment following an agreement with the administration at Johns Hopkins University, which suspends conduct proceedings against students and speeds up the timeline for consideration of divestment proposals from fund managers. While exams and the end of the semester may have drawn this period of student protests to a close, it is an open question whether protests will return during the summer. This time, administrators and police will be better prepared, and students will have to find protest spaces where they are not easily shut down. On April 30th, when I interviewed George Washington University student Reem, she had said that the protests were focused on the university's divestment from Israel, a more achievable goal for students, she described, but less so on the big project of ceasefire in Gaza, which is clearly more emotive, especially now with the invasion of Rafah. Would to narrow a focus not be appealing enough? Or would to broad a protest need to be presented to the Biden administration and Congress instead of college presidents? Meanwhile, in the U.S. House of Representatives, there was an anti-Semitism hearing. Here is Representative Aaron Bean, Republican of Florida, chair of the Early Childhood, Elementary, and Secondary Education Subcommittee.
It's hard to grasp how anti-Semitism has become such a dominant force in our K through 12 schools. Some kids as young as second grade are spewing Nazi propaganda, which begs the question, who has positioned these young minds to attack the Jewish people?
Montgomery County Board of Education President Carla Silvestri responded.
Let me be clear. We do not shy away from imposing consequences for hate-based behavior, including anti-Semitism. And if our investigation finds a staff member cannot uphold the employee code of conduct and support a safe learning environment for all students, they will not remain in Montgomery County Public Schools. Student discipline follows the student code of conduct and students' rights and responsibilities. We have put in place a clear reporting process and training for school leaders and staff. We are empowering students and families to report incidents of harassment so that we can take action. We're working to prevent anti-Semitic incidents from happening in the first place through education. We enhance the curriculum throughout K-12 to expand on topics related to the Jewish experience. 12 community organizations joined us to form a hate bias advisory group to support our collective effort to address hate-based speech and incidents, including anti-Semitism.
It is worth pointing out that the four teachers put on leave for alleged anti-Semitic remarks have now been reinstated at new schools. The Council of American Islamic Relations had filed First Amendment lawsuits on their behalf. And the Zionist Organization of America has sued MCPS for failing to deal with anti-Semitism in the schools. And so, here is the lesson. When we disagree, we appeal to government to determine the right path forward. But MCPS is truly stuck in a thankless space between two virtues, First Amendment and equal protection. Tomorrow, May 15th, is the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments' powerful transportation planning board meeting to determine transportation projects which will be evaluated for air quality impact. I spoke with TPB's vice chair and Gaithersburg City Council member Neil Harris.
The second half of the two-hour meeting will be primarily focused on determining what projects will be included in the air quality conformity analysis, which is a 10-month process that is required for the updated 25-year plan for transportation in the DC metropolitan region.
What are some of the highlights of the projects that you're looking at for air quality now?
The 270 project and the American Legion Bridge are the ones that I'm most focused on. The idea being that the American Legion Bridge is approaching the end of its useful lifespan and is a critical artery for this region. Traffic congestion on I-270 is miserable and really needs work. But there are also projects throughout the region on the Maryland side and Virginia and DC, including the potential addition of high occupancy toll lanes to the Wilson Bridge on the other side, connecting Prince George's County to Virginia. And there's some controversy over that because the long-term plan for those lanes is to actually have metro tracks running on them, but that's not scheduled for a long time. And Virginia's Department of Transportation would like to put some automobile lanes there in the meantime, and it's controversial.
It's controversial because there's opposition to it based on the fact that once you give it over to autos, you can recover it for transit.
Well, and VDOT makes the case that you can recover it, but you know, some people are concerned that once it's established, it's hard to take it away again. But the plan is a 25-year plan, and at this point, there's no chance that Metro will extend the blue line over that bridge for at least another 10 or 15 years. So it's a shame to let that real estate go fallow in the meantime when there is such a need for moving more people.
So the big kahuna is, of course, the 270 toll lane project. I believe the city of Rockville has some opposition.
The city of Rockville is very concerned. There are already a lot of lanes, I think 12 lanes going through Rockville on the highway. There is no current plan to widen that highway beyond the current boundaries, but their focus is on the rest of the highway. In other words, they're okay with the highway widening from I-370 north to Frederick, which is a very narrow part of the corridor as you go farther north, as well as the southern part from the spur to the Legion Bridge. They just don't want Rockville touch. My concern is, first of all, we're not actually approving projects to be constructed or even put into the long-range plan at this juncture. We're focused, this vote is all about analyzing projects for whether or not they contribute to improved or degraded air quality in our region.
The reality is that if you oppose a big project like this, you tend to use the process to slow it down. And why is this not okay in that context?
Well, because I hate exactly what you just said. The idea that you can use the process to derail a project like this is an issue with the process itself. I don't go there, and I don't approve or appreciate, you know, using environmental concerns to derail a project when we haven't even really analyzed the environmental impact of a project yet.
Neil Harris, Vice President of Transportation Planning Board and Gaithersburg City Councilman, thank you.
Thank you, Sunil. Always a pleasure.
Lastly, we have our friend Hilberto Zelaya from the Montgomery County Board of Elections with some inspiration for you to go cast your vote.
You know, over the 8 days, we got to serve, give and take, about 20,360 voters. It was slow and steady. You could say slow and steady. We were fully staffed. Our election workers, gratitude to them. So if any of our election workers are watching, we are grateful for your service and look forward to working with you again for the primary elections, May 14th. So slow and steady, and we were there to serve.
It's not even 2,000 votes per center.
It's about give and take, a little under 3%. 3% of the Montgomery County's electorate.
Is that worth it?
It's worth it. Yes, it is. At the end of the day, my friend, we are always prepared for 100% turnout. We understand that close to 135,000 voters requested to vote by mail. And it's an opportunity that is afforded to our electorate across the state to leverage early voting. So whether it's under 3% or 90%, we're there to serve. We just ask our voters to make a vote plan. Election day is the last opportunity to flex your in-person vote. And if you still have your mail-in ballot, we do ask that you return that ballot as soon as possible. Identify the closest ballot drop box by texting the word box and your zip code to 77788. So we ask for those who are voting by mail to return your ballot. If you change, if you have a change of mind and you feel the need to vote in person on election day, you will need to vote a provisional ballot.
How many polling centers do you have for
May 14th? It's about 240, 250. We have some consolidated precincts. And so everything is on your sample ballot if you need to know where to vote on election day. That's a very unique nuance, right? For early voting, you're not tied to the nearest early voting center. But for election day, our preference is that you show up to where you vote. And if you don't know, text the word check to 77788, check to 77788 to ascertain where is your election day polling place. And if not, if you're running late, as you know, Montgomery County has the traffic is horrible, is arduous. So if you're running late, go to your nearest polling place. If you're nearing 8 p.m., you will need to vote a provisional ballot if you're outside of your polling place. But nonetheless, we will not turn you away.
Well, good luck May 14th.
Thank you, my friend. So please make a vote plan. One more day, the big party Tuesday, May 14th. And if you have your ballot, don't sleep on it. Don't dwell on it. Send it back.
That's all for this episode. Be sure to check out I Hate Politics candidate interviews as you make your voting choices in the primary elections. I Hate Politics is produced by me, Sunil Dasgupta, and assistant producers Daniel Galeo, Katarina Gasek, and Catherine Amaya Escobar, with support from University of Maryland, Baltimore County. I direct UMBC's political science program at the universities at Shady Grove in Montgomery County, where, among other things, we explore and learn about politics, government, and society close to home. Music for this episode comes from Doogie Whitaker and the Lonesome Mile. Whitaker on vocals and guitar, Howard Rayback on bass, and Allison Cena on drums. The song is called Streetlight Sigh. Lyrics by Dale Ingram. If you want to share your music on the show or know someone else who might want to, please email us at producer@ihppod.org. See you next time.